Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
And we will shout unto the Lord. That's what God's word says. I love your description of yourself. Old guy, but he's bouncing.
Let's do it.
In Jesus' name. But I'll do it better in heaven because I'll have perfect rhythm. Get this. We're invited into this thing because he loves us. He's not desperate for us. We're desperate for him. Get the picture. We're desperate for him. This amazing, compassionate God. Ride with me on this. He's the same God that let Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fiery furnace. You got battles. This is how we fight our battle. I'm sitting there as we're singing that song. I'm going, keep going. Because I got this picture of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going in, right? And if you know the story, and the king orders it, turn it up hotter. A lot hotter. And they did. They turned up the furnace. And the guards that are throwing them in died. But they threw them in. And the king, by the way, who is actually not sure of his move here. If you know, go back and read the story. I want to talk to you about stories today. But he goes back. He says, hey, didn't I throw three in there? Why is there four of them in there? And they're up and walking around. What's the problem there? The math doesn't add up. Nobody goes in on their own. See, the fourth man was already in the fire. This is how we fight our battles. The fourth man is in the fire. This is how we fight our battles. The fourth man's already in the problem. He's already in the problem. And he's up and he's walking around going, come on in, you wait and see what I do. Come on in, you know where I'm going, right? We're going back into that. This is where we fight our battles. Don't worry about the battle. The battle is not yours. The word says the battle is the Lord's. And he's already in the battle and he has secured it for you. This is where we're going with this. As Pastor Mike sings this, if you got a battle going, come right up here. Come right up here. I need my pastors, my elders to come up here. We're going to pray with you about where you're fighting your battle at. Come on up here. Pastors and spouses, come on up. Elders and spouses, come on up. This is where we fight our battle. Because the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. And the fourth man is already in your fire. The fourth man is already in your fire. Find someone. Here we go. Find somebody. These are our elders right here. The fourth man is already in the fire. Take us there, Pastor Mike. This is how we fight our battles. And we fight to win. There's never a place in the scripture where God is present that there is no hope. Listen to that. You get that? There is no place in scripture where God is present that there is no hope. There is no place in scripture where God is present that there is no joy. Even on a cross, Christ found the joy of pleasing the Father. The pain was wretched. The experience was humiliating. But if it pleased the Father, he found joy in pleasing the Father. Remain standing with me for just a moment. We're going to light the fourth unity candle.
The first week was hope. The second weekend was expectation. The third, we lit the candle of love. And today we're going to light this fourth candle. Tomorrow night in our Christmas Eve service, we will light the center candle. And the center candle is the Christ candle, because he is the Christ child. Today we're going to light the joy candle. And I want to read to you from Psalms 100, shout for joy. First three words, shout for joy. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Joy-filled songs. They were in captivity. And here's David, now king, years later. Israel's always being attacked. I had a guy stop me not long ago and he said, can I ask you something if you're a pastor? And I don't know how he found out I was a pastor because I didn't tell him. But he said, why is everybody always picking on Israel? I said, how much time you got? And he said, are you serious? I said, I am. I'll sit down and have a cup of coffee with you. And I sat and I had a cup of coffee and I told him everything Pastor Harvey ever told me. Man, Rabbi Harvey knows, if you want to talk about the history of Israel and why Israel, well, it's in the Word, obviously. But it says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Hey, if you know that, you will have joy. If you really know that, you will have joy. If you really actually believe he's God and he is in control and that he loves you, you get it. You win. Because no matter what happens to you, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were getting thrown into the fire. And you know what they really thought was going to happen? Here's what they said. We know the Lord can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down, O King Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, I'm going into the fire, and I'm going to lay odds that no matter what happens, this is my mom's paraphrase, everything's going to be all right now. That my mama heard that all my life. Heard it every time I got faked being sick. Didn't want to go to school. My mom would say, everything's going to be all right now. Get on that school bus. Your moms know when a kid's faking it, don't you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine? I don't think they skipped in there. I can't skip. If I did, it'd be a bad scene. I don't think they skipped in there. I could be wrong, but I don't get the picture, because they really were facing death and they said it. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we will not bow down. I sense they could see him. We will not bow down and worship you, King Nebuchadnezzar. And I could feel, as I'm reading the scripture, the resolve building up in them. This is coming. This is really coming. This is really coming. We won't bow down. Can you imagine the moment of all of a sudden they hear the voice of the Lord saying, I'm already here. Come on in. They were bound and the ropes burned, and then they got up and they're walking around. But they were in with the fourth man. I'm telling you, that lights my spirit. I don't know if that does yours like it does mine, but that lights my spirit. Man, you couldn't have brought in a more amazingly anointed day, Pastor Mike. Worship the Lord with gladness. Know that he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We can't even compare to him. I'm glad. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Do you know what the shepherd does? He keeps the sheep safe. You know what the shepherd does? He feeds the sheep. You know what he does? If they don't obey him, he smacks them with a rod. Thy rod and thy staff, they're comfort to me. Shepherds also smack, if you don't know, at night, the shepherd, the same rod that they will crack the legs to get a sheep to do what he or she, usually he, is supposed to do. That same rod at night, the shepherd will tap it against a stone. Because it echoed down through the valley and it would be like a lullaby. Thy rod and thy staff, they're a comfort to me. Because they were comforting, because the shepherd was letting them know, I'm here. I'm here. The same rod that brought punishment brought assurance and brought love and brought safety. By the way, even in the correction, it did too. It just hurt a little bit. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to his name. Praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Pastor Mike, if you will light the joy candle, the fourth candle, and if you would give the Lord, the giver of all joy, peace, hope, love, and expectation, if you'll give him a huge hand this morning. I want to invite you, hallelujah. Father, we worship you. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. I'm going to be singing that all week. This is how we fight our battles. We needed to hear that, Pastor Mike. We needed to hear that today. We needed to hear that today. This is how, everybody say, this is how I fight my battles. I'm surrounded by you, the fourth man. Now, don't ever forget that part. Father, in Jesus' name, we say yes, Lord, to your will and to your good pleasure. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. I said, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And every believer said, I mean, if you really believe that, you said, amen. Give him another shout, will you? I want to ask you this. Are you ready to get into the Word? I said, are you ready to get into the Word? I still think the left side's louder. Are you ready to get into the Word? Billy, shout. Okay. Billy, shout. There you go. You just got into the records of the service, buddy. You're officially both in. Hey, do you love a good story? Got two of you agreed. Okay. Do you love a good story? I don't. Don't you love the Hallmark movies? Yeah. That just make you feel good. Yeah. You just feel like sitting next to your girl again. Some of you guys are going, you guys, get with it. Good love stories, good. They always fall in love. They always get the guy they should have had, not the guy they were dating. I can tell you what's going to happen in a Hallmark movie. They're always dating the wrong person at the beginning of the movie, and they're going to discover the right person in the middle of the movie, and they're going to marry that person at the end of the movie. And it's such a good movie that the two that aren't supposed to be with those two, they find each other and they fall in love. And it's the same thing every year. But I love sappy love stories. Don't you love a sappy love story? Everybody, do y'all love a sappy love story? Okay. I like the ladies where they shake in their head. Yes, good. So there's a great love story in God's Word. And you started it just a couple weeks ago. Zechariah and Elizabeth. There's a great love story that just takes off in Luke chapter 1, doesn't it? You know, I believe every one of us should add the Zechariah-Elizabeth story to our Christmas stories. I really do. We usually take off somewhere reading around in the days of Caesar Augustus, you know, chapter 2. We miss so much. Can I take off where you left off just a little bit? I love it, because that was a great telling of the story. I love a great story. So here is Zechariah, still can't talk, and the baby's been born, and they're going to talk about what they're going to name the baby. Did you get that far? I don't remember. I don't think you did. And so people are wanting to name different names, and Elizabeth says, no, his name is going to be John. And then, now, by the way, Zechariah still can't talk at this point. He still can't speak. You know the story? He still can't speak. And they're handing him tablets to write on. What do you think we should name him? You know, what do you think we should? He can't speak. Zechariah can't speak because he didn't believe the word of the Lord that came through Gabriel. Remember the story? Don't you love a great story? Read these stories. They are hilarious. They're crazy. How do I know I can believe you? I love that. Hey, I'm Gabe. I'm Gabe. I stand in the presence of the Lord. I'm Gabe. I love that. So speed up to towards the end. And by the way, we're talking about John the Baptist's parents. Just so you know, that's who we're talking about. Zechariah and Elizabeth, we're going to have a baby. The baby is going to be anointed, and he'll make a way, and he will be, and prophecy was all over this baby, right? So they finally hand Zechariah the tablet. What do you think you should name? And he said, that boy's name is John. And he could speak from that moment on. You read how many times an angel appears in this whole Christmas story. It's not once with Mary and Joseph. It's several times. Gabe appears. Hey, I'm Gabe. I'm the word of the Lord here. You know, I'm coming into you. And so I'm coming into your world. And so as the story goes, John is born. Zechariah prophesies over John. And then I'm going to end with this, and then I'm going to jump into the Christmas story, the actual Christmas story that we know. And the child grew and became, this is John the Baptist, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Because God was doing a work in John. John was full of the Spirit. Because when Mary shows up, if you can't remember the story, when Mary shows up at Elizabeth's house, she stayed with her for 3 months. Did you know that? She stayed with Zechariah and for 3 months. And when she shows up, and when she heard the voice of Mary speaking, the baby, John the Baptist, in Elizabeth's womb leaps. Because that baby's full of the Spirit. It's a great story. It really is. The problem is, can I tell you what I sense the problem is? We've heard it so many times. We've seen the movie so many times. We'll go get a cup of coffee during the movie. We'll go get a cup of coffee during the movie. We kind of mentally check out during the show. We kind of treat it like there's a restroom break. While the movie's still going on, we'll go into the bathroom in our mind. We'll do all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? We'll get distracted because we've heard the story so many times that we're numb to the story. It's similar to, if you've been to war, your mind begins to numb just to take it all, just so you can just exist in the setting that you're in. And by the way, if you've seen enough horror movies, the news isn't quite as disturbing to you because of things that, we become desensitized. That's the word. We become desensitized. And I'm concerned that the church has become desensitized in America, because I will tell you right now, on this day, there are plans around the world in desperate countries to gather tomorrow night on Christmas Eve to hold a candlelight service in a basement with no lights on, with no electricity, hiding from their government in China, hiding from their governments in Russia, hiding from Eastern Bloc dictators, hiding from dictators throughout the Middle East, hiding, and they're praying. And by the way, they would love to just get this portion of Scripture. If they could just, they can't get enough of the Word, because they don't get the whole Word. Have you ever heard of Fire Bibles? It's a ministry to get Bibles into China, into the nations that forbid Christianity from being preached. And it's an organization, Google it sometimes, support it if you can. But we are smuggling literally, and we can't say who's doing it, obviously, because of media, the multimedia. We're smuggling Bibles all around the world, because if they can get one page of Scripture to read tomorrow night, right? You guys know this. If they can get one piece of Scripture, they will celebrate on Christmas Eve a candlelight service, and the story never grows old, because see, they're desperate. They're actually desperate for an answer. And he shall deliver us. Those words mean something to those that are in Central America today under tyrants, under dictators, or just under poverty. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Those words mean something to the desperate. And we become desensitized to the story. Don't you love the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus? In those days, Caesar Augustus issues a decree that a census should be taken of the Roman Empire. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor over Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea. From the Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. It's the city of David. because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. All prophecies fulfilled. Being prophecy one after another being fulfilled. If you know the Old Testament, you'll know this is a fascinating story because all of these prophecies that are being fulfilled right before their very eyes. And all of a sudden, I'm going to go on and read some more. And there were shepherds living in fields nearby keeping watch over their flocks at night like they were supposed to. That's what they did. They were responsible people. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. By the way, so was Zechariah, so was, you know. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Almost normal words right out of the first shoot, out of an angel's mouth. Don't be afraid. Very normal. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. The Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. A manger. He's describing where donkeys reside. He's describing where the cows reside. He's describing, and they're saying, can you imagine? He's getting real specific here. Don't look in the inn. Don't look where you expected him in a palace as king. Look into the poverty stricken. That's why the poverty can relate. Those poverty-stricken people around the world can relate. And he did that on purpose because he is the one who will deliver the poverty-stricken. He will deliver the spiritual poverty-stricken. And that is an amazing, I feel your pain statement from him. Goes on to say, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests. I spoke about favor in the title of this message. Christmas favor is appearing before us in this story. The whole story is about the favor of God, the love of God, and the power of this story is still life-changing. There are people in this room today just hearing the story again. Your lives are being changed. There's something about the story, I sense this, I really do, that it's so different today than it's ever been brought to you before, and it's not me, it's the words of the Holy Spirit. All I'm doing is reading Scripture. But God, I love that. How many times, but God, in the Scripture, God just simply put in there, but God, who is rich and infinite in his mercy, but God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. It's an amazing thing. He goes on to say, when the angels had left them, gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. Did you hear? They heard the story. They were amazed at the story. You know why? Because the people telling the story were amazed themselves still at the story. They were not desensitized to the story. No, you should have. We saw Gabe. We saw Gabriel. They knew. I mean, they were, because there's an, now you don't have to be a lunatic about this. I don't want you walking right in the middle of Schnucks. Hey! Please don't do that. If you do, don't tell them, number one, that you're a Christian. Number two, don't tell them you go to St. Charles River Church. No, I'm not talking about, you know, cold calls here. I'm talking about people that you know, hot calls, warm calls, people that you know and know you. Oh. I hope that's good, because our witness gives us credibility, doesn't it, Dave? Our witness gives us credibility, or our witness decredits us. What's the word I'm looking for? Discredits us. Thank you, teacher. Thank you. Both my daughters, third grade teacher, was a fourth grade, third grade teacher right here. That's true, she is. and always will be. A teacher, so will he. So will he be. I love the story. Goes on to say, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were told to them. Don't you love a great story? Do you know that Jesus did most of his greatest teaching built on stories? Mm-hmm. It's easy to remember a lot of the parables because all you got to do is start with, there was once a. He just told stories. He got people's attention. He was the greatest story, perhaps, I believe this, in the history of mankind. The greatest storyteller. Because get this, he's the only one who had the authority to actually make it come to pass. So we're watching this morning. I love great stories. We're watching this morning. Sherry's got us hooked on CBS morning news, and so it's and they got great stories on there on Sundays. There's this one story today. There was actually a couple of stories on there today that were just very touching. There was this family. They were sharecroppers. They were black family out of the South. And it said, and it wasn't so long ago as you might think. I think of sharecroppers and I think of the black slaves picking cotton in the early years of the Americas. And that was there, tragically. That was there. But as they're telling the story, they're just bringing me into this story about these sharecroppers, this family that through the lineage of their family passed this one little farm down from lineage to lineage to lineage to lineage down in the South. Hun, where was that? Do you remember? It seemed like it was Alabama, but I don't remember for sure. And they said this was in 1969. That's how long that family kept that small farm, that cotton farm in their family. And they passed it down from generation to generation. And the four siblings that are now in their 70s today are telling the story. They're being interviewed. And they said, this was once where our home was. It was a little shack. It was not much of a shack. We had an outhouse. And they begin to describe, and there's this field. And they're showing, this is the field where we picked cotton. And as we were, We didn't know that we didn't have a lot of things. You know, they told the story how great their parents were and how great their grandparents were. And they told the love that was in the family and the strength that was in that family. And now there are generations after generations. But there was one part of the story that they brought in towards the end. And they said, but you know, there was always one house that was in eyeshot of their little shack. There was a house. And it was across the field. It was into somebody else's field. And then they begin to show it in the story. And there is this colonial, one-story, gorgeous house that they saw every day as they picked the cotton in that field. They picked more cotton and they would look up and they would see that gorgeous mansion, one-story mansion across the street with pillars on. I mean, it's a majestic house. It really was a majestic house, and they showed it in and they talked about how we would every day think, wow. They weren't angry about it. They would say, they have bathrooms inside. They have a toilet inside. It wouldn't it be nice to have a toilet like that? They actually have a kitchen. You know, mom and grandma and great granny, she would cook out behind on an open stove, on an open fire with a big pot. And they told the story. Now, those were precious stories to them. And those were amazing stories of strength of their family. And the story, as they told it, they said, but you know, there was one day we decided we were going to be successful somehow. And they never left God out of this, by the way. Most of the time in the story, they're sitting there just kind of worshiping God and dancing as a family. Well, what took place was, you see, one day they decided that the poverty field that they worked so hard was placed there because one day, which was just recently, they bought that house as a family. They came together and they pooled their resources, and all of the generations are there today, this week, celebrating Christmas with a family reunion. What's the name? What was their last name? Skikes? something, Skiles, something like that. The Skiles family, I believe is the name of the family, is actually all, and they're showing them in the kitchen. Gorgeous kitchen that they themselves have renovated. Gorgeous restrooms that they themselves, you see, they weren't envious in the way that they were angry that someone else could have that. That just reminded them that there's hope. That house just above their house on a hill, that hope was theirs to have someday if they want. And one of them, the son, became CEO, chairman of the board of the organization that he is in. One became a teacher. One became a nurse. Was there three or four? There was three. One of the ladies became a teacher. One became a nurse. And the brother became a CFO of the chairman of the board of the organization that he is with. And you see, they're still telling the generational story. Because you see, it's a powerful story. Now, I may not have gotten all the details right. If you want to go look at the story, it's self-contained. I think it's better than me telling the story. But did you feel when I told you they bought that house? Did you feel, wasn't there this, wow? You see, stories that are like that are wow. Our story is the biggest wow that there is. Wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And if we're not captivated by that story and we just go through life, I guarantee you, here's these kids, this family, if it's the Skiles, they're sitting there worshiping joy to the world. They're not just going, joy to the world. Because these kids have gotten the generational story. We picked cotton in that field. You see that field down there? Your great-granny, your great-great-granny, and I'm adding to the story, they didn't say this, but can you imagine, I want to be upfront with you and tell you that, that's the kind of stuff, that's where we came from, this is where we are. By the way, none of them live in it, but they wanted to own it. Because they had hoped someday, and they wanted all their children and their children's children to be able to come back at family reunions a few times a year to say, that's where we came from. And this is the hope that we want to give to you for your generation and your generation. And I will say this. I came out of sin. That's where I came from. I came out of a state separated from God. That's where I came from. Pastor or Chaplain Earl tells that story all the time. He said, I was the greatest. He said, I was in two different armies. I was in the army of the devil, and now I'm in the army of the Lord. He said, that's where I came from, and this is the mansion God's given me. Yeah. Tells that story every chance he gets. It's a great thing. You know, I have to tell you another one real quick. How many of you loved Liberace? Just the music of Liberace. I love that guy. I mean, that guy was so flamboyant. That guy was so, his clothes, I envied his clothes. No, I didn't. I show Gina shirts online every once in a while. I'll say, you like that shirt? Oh, Lord Jesus. I do. I'll show you some shirts here. I mean, Elvis and Liberace could have only gotten away with these shirts. I'm serious. I actually showed her one last night. She goes, oh. And then I said, look at the pants. What do you look at those for? It's for shock value. But Liberace was in this years ago in the 1980s or 90s, early 90s. I saw a story on one of the networks and they were interviewing Liberace and he was telling his story. Do you get the power of a story? Do you get where we're going? Do you know where we're at today? The power of a story. And I'm just sitting there listening and Liberace's telling the story. When I first started, I can't talk like that guy, by the way. I can talk like a lot of people. I can't talk like that guy. That guy was uniquely Liberace. But he's sitting there, gold all over him. Gold on his suits. I mean, I'm serious. Gold everything. He had a 18-karat gold-plated grand piano he's playing on with the most expensive ivory. And he's in this Taj Mahal kind of a thing. He said, when I first started my career, he said, I didn't make any money at all. And there was one that he said, I played in some of, and he was telling the places that he played and the different halls that he played in. And it was really kind of a humbling story, the Liberace story at the beginning. He said, and I stood outside. It was kind of a Fox theater in this town that I guess he had been raised in. It was a very sentimental theater that he wanted to play in all of his life. And he went in and he asked them, could I do a demonstration for you? I would like to play a concert in this hall. And the owner of the hall, the theater, gorgeous theater, came out and he said, no, and you'll never be allowed to play here. Give it up. Go live your dream. Go play in a bar. That kind of a thing. Liberace, please. I bought that palace. I bought that theater. And that's where he was sitting as they were filming this. This is it. Take a look around. And it was Fox Theater-ish. I bought that palace. And he's just smiling. Can I tell you? The power of a story. I'm going to wrap it up. But the power of this story is, it's the favor of God upon all men. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever will, come unto me. All that are weary and heavy laden, all who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. The problem is, in America, I am concerned that we've come desensitized. We've become desensitized. And I'll wrap it up with this. Y'all know the movie. I'm not recommending it. Everybody understand, raise your hand. I am not endorsing this movie. Three of you. Good. Christmas Vacation. If you ever see it, see the edited version. I'm just saying. Because I had not seen the edited version for about 15 years into the existence of this. And then all of a sudden I saw the unedited version and I went, Lord Jesus, where did that come from? So anyway, after, you know the story, after all of that wretched stuff took place, remember the squirrel came, the cat ate the cord and burned himself, fried himself under the white chair and burned himself to death. The squirrel comes out of the tree and attacks him. The house is torn to pieces. The dog chases the squirrel through the whole house. He takes everything out in the kitchen. Everything is destroyed and they're all getting ready to go. And Mrs. Griswold says, Clark, let him go. It can't get any worse. And Clark says, Worse. It can't get any worse. We're on the threshold of hell. And he wouldn't let him leave. Because he lost it. You know the movie? Clark lost it. So Clark then, he's in there taking a couple of extra shots of eggnog in the kitchen. And his father walks into him and says, son, it doesn't do any good that, you know, the night's been a disaster. And he said, you messed it up. But that's okay. That's okay. He said, you're a good father. And yelling at the family like that doesn't do it any good. Doesn't do anybody any good. He says, Dad, how did you do it? He said, well, a little bit of Jack Daniels helped me. And I mean, I'm just telling you the story. So I'm telling you the story here. He said that, you know, Jack Daniels and I, we got along well and that's kind of thing. And then he says, Dad, are you going to read the Christmas story tonight? He said, no, son, I'm retired. This is your house. You read the story. You see, the Christmas story is still powerful today. It's being told in movies. The Jesus story, the grace story, the favor story is still being told by movie producers. They don't even know what they're doing. They stuck it in Charlie Brown last week. Mm-hmm. This is the story. And they're reading the word.
Yep.
And here's Clark Griswold. He read the same story in the days of Caesar Augustus and on the family after all of those disasters that took place. This was the most calming thing. They're all sitting there listening and the music's beautiful. They're calmed and they're listening to the Christmas story. And it impacted them. It was a very emotional time for the Griswold family. So, having said that, I do not endorse the movie. But I want you to know, there's somebody that needs to know the Christmas story new this year. Maybe you do. Maybe you need to go home. And I would encourage you, start in Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and take it right on through the Christmas story and reclaim in your household the greatest love story ever told. Father, in Jesus' name, empower us to receive the grace of the most powerful love story ever told, the favor of God through Christmas. In Jesus' name, every believer said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.